live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 192. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined by, as always, my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
What's going on, Brandon Reif? What's going on, Crossroads listening audience? Man, it's good. It's great. It feels great to be back. It feels great to be back.
It does. It does. Great to be back. Tell you what, JB, I am playing with the – I feel like I'm 70 years old. I've got a really, really bad back right now. So I'm actually standing up doing the show because I can't sit down. So probably hour and a half show this evening. I am in a lot of pain for this show. But
oh, man.
We've got a lot to talk about tonight. We've got NFL, college football. We've got the Final Four are set in college football. We've got, obviously, our college basketball, some talk there, NFL and NBA, a lot of talk on the Indiana Pacers tonight. We can kind of focus off of college football that we've kind of put in the forefront, at least for another week or so, till bowl season actually starts. But a big, big, big show this evening, John. Looking forward to it. Little housekeeping notes. thank you to our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance, as well as Mavericks Custom Motorsports, and also Three Wise Men Logistics. Thank you to those three. Also, next week, we will have a show next week. In 2 weeks, the week of Christmas, we will not have a show. I will be in New York that week, so no show the week of Christmas. So next week, you get your Christmas present a little early next week, and you get a show next Wednesday night. So instead of waiting a week, you get it on Wednesday. So there you go. John, where do you want to dive into first? You want to go NFL?
Just because I know, you know what I'm saying, we got a game tonight with the Steelers and the Vikings. We can do a little recap and get our emotions and our takes out on this past Sunday's events. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah, we can dive in. I don't want to go fully in deep to every single game just because we're already into the next week. But, yeah, for sure. Just dive, look into real quick. You know, Steelers and Vikings, they're playing tonight. Big Ben, the Steelers go up to Minnesota. Steelers, oh, my God. I told you, every Steeler game takes a year or two off of my life, it seems like. I thought we would get blown out by the Ravens just because the way the team was. The team actually showed up and play. We held Lamar Jackson, a running quarterback who normally hurts us. Held him, forced him into some turnovers. T.J. Watt, and then played well. We scored, which was great, and then I thought we left too much time on the clock, which we did, and then Baltimore comes down, goes for it. I have no problem with them going for it. I think that was, you know, 9 times out of 10, I think they get it, honestly, against us there.
Right,
it just caught Andrew's head and Andrew's hands, but, hey, Steelers got the win against Baltimore. I'll take it. 6-5-1, this has been one song. Let's just let's enjoy the rest of the ride and see where it takes us.
Right. As everybody kind of put the dirt on Big Ben's career after last week's game, you know what I'm saying, they just did well enough to, like I said, to beat a rival. You know what I'm saying? That's an important win because, of course, if you don't win that game, then, you know what I'm saying, where does your season look like, you know what I'm saying, going further? It don't get no easier for the Pittsburgh Steelers at all. Because I do believe they have they get to Cleveland again, or they get Cincinnati again, I do believe. You know what I'm saying? They get some divisional games. But good win if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. You know what I'm saying? Another sort of a head-scratcher if you're a Ravens fan because it wasn't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, that's a team that can survive even, like, the, you know what I'm saying, the quote-unquote bad play of Lamar Jackson, right? They can survive that. I think he had, like, 4 picks that game, something crazy. But they can survive. Because they kind of pulled it all together. They have, you know, everybody kind of knows from the beginning of the season they're missing their starting running back support. So it makes the offensive line look a little bit diminished in that regard. They do have some little nicks and knacks. They have little nicks and bruises out on the defensive side too. But again, you know, saying at times they can kind of just, you know, say pull up, you know, say pull up by the bootstraps and, you know, saying and make a play. So I still think that division kind of comes down to those three. I mean, Cleveland's kind of out of it, right? And I say that didn't watch them go on a winning streak, but I think Cleveland's kind of out of it.
And they all still can win. That's crazy. I said, haven't all four teams looked good as they could win it, but they've all four looked as well the worst team in the division?
But here's the thing, Brandon. You trust the veteran teams, right? And the two veteran teams with veteran coaches, veteran quarterback, veteran, you know what I'm saying, and other, you know what I'm saying, supporting cast would be Pittsburgh and the Ravens. Cleveland has gotten, you know what I'm saying, a little bit of that, you know what I'm saying, but, like, they you know, again, Baker's hurt right now. And that's not to make any excuses of, like, what other pieces they have on their team, you know what I mean? Because, like, you know, if you look at other teams, you know what I'm saying, they got a good running back core there too, and they still can't seemingly, you know what I'm saying, get a production out of there. You look at Pitt, you look at Cincinnati, again, with the elite level quarterback play that they have, Joe Burrow, you know what I'm saying? Again, and some of the wideouts that they have. Again, they take a step back. They take two steps forward, and then seemingly take three steps back as they lost this past weekend against the Chargers. So I still think, Brandon, like I said, the Cincinnati Bengals will have something to say about it because they still have a little juice left in the tank. They have enough juice left in the tank to beat anybody, enough offense. But I still think the division kind of goes down to the Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And like I said, the next 3 to 4 weeks will kind of determine that.
Okay. Colts go down to Houston, shutout victory, 31-0. And I saw a couple of people tweeting during the game that the game felt like it was a complete blowout, even when it was 14-0. And the Colts honestly probably should have won 50-something to nothing, honestly, in that game. But 31-0, Colts win over Texans. Texans rolled over, let them pet that belly. Colts, and watching Hard Knocks, I watched Hard Knocks this morning from last night that came out about this game. Seemed like the key thing was everybody is trying to nurse injuries, soreness, nursing injuries, and wanting to get to this bye week this week for the Colts. So they've reached it. They've got that bye week now. I think 7-6, I think is the record.
Yeah.
The Colts were 500. So 7-6 now, you're still back at Tennessee for the division, but right, you're putting yourself in the right spot for December football, and they ran the ball like they were supposed to. Colts got a big win.
Right. Colts got a big win. They put, you know what I'm saying, I don't think Carson only took one sack the whole game. They put the ball in their best player's hand. That would be, you know what I'm saying, Jonathan Taylor. He was a rushing machine. He was catching a couple balls and then getting yak afterwards. So again, you know, we know the it's not like you just beat the Super Bowl champs when you're playing the Texans. So if you found yourself caught up in a close weight game with the Texans, you know what I'm saying, there'd probably been even more cause for concern going afterwards, besides, you know what I'm saying, bruises and feeling sore. But, like, no, man, they go down there and take care of business, and, you know what I'm saying, looking forward to the bye, and, you know what I'm saying, up next, you know, is the Evil Empire. And, like, how you going to come face that when they can beat you in an assortment of ways, defensively, and or, like I said, they got their own pretty darn good rushing attack in New England. So, but like, no, great, good. Like I said, I won't say great win. I'll say good win for the Colts. And like I said, getting to the bye week, and like I said, after that, it's gone to New England.
Yeah, absolutely. Pats got a huge win on Monday night against the Buffalo Bills. Bad weather conditions. Mac Jones only threw 3 passes the entire game. Credit to New England. If you can't stop the damn run, then we ain't going to change it. And Buffalo, we were considering them as big Super Bowl favorites beginning of the season and kind of throughout the first half of the season. And they've kind of hit a wall. Obviously, they lost to Pittsburgh. They've lost to Indianapolis. They've lost to New England.
Jaguars.
They keep looking stronger. The Evil Empire, as you call them, And right now, they are the leaders in the clubhouse when it comes to division and to the conference. Number one seed in the AFC currently.
Yeah, I got into a little bit of a conversation though with some folks about, and it might be the old Colts fan in me. You know, I get it that everything is going to have to, you know, say right now, if everything was even, everything, like I said, playoff started right now, everything would, like all the playoff games would go through, be home games for them. I feel the surge in Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know what I'm saying? That's, like I said, they still not right there like the Kansas City Chiefs that we know that can put up 30 or 40, you know what I'm saying, in their sleep. But they found the ways to win. They're, you know what I'm saying, they're outside of New England, they're probably the second hottest team in the NFL. I think they won like five straight after everybody kind of had said, felt like they had collapsed. But no, kudos. Like I said, take your hat off to the defensive mind and the great coaching of Bill Belichick and having that team prepared, having that young quarterback prepared, not getting in the way, not messing up. Again, like you said, how many passes? Three passes the whole game? And he just handed it off. You know, that Peyton Manning made a comment saying he's showing great technique of how you just hand the ball off. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of chuckled at that. But, like, no, man, everybody should be on notice, man, because though that was a very close game that they had against Cleveland, they can put some points up on you. The Patriots can. So, they, like I said, they can beat you in a variety of ways. So, you know what I'm saying, hopefully, you know what I'm saying, during this, you know what I'm saying, going back to the Colts, hopefully they do a whole lot of scouting and they can, you know what I'm saying, know that Bill Belichick is going to try to take away, you know what I'm saying, their best player and that would be Jonathan Taylor. And, he probably might even, you know, go after Carson, to be honest with you, you know what I'm saying, make him make some potentially bad decisions. So again, I think, I mean, once that game happens, I know I'll be glued in. But again, right now, the Patriots sitting on top of the AFC is crazy.
Yeah. If I look, John, right now, my AFC rankings, my top three for the AFC right now, currently, if you were to ask me, which you didn't, but I'm going to give them to you anyways, my top three AFC right now are Chiefs, who are starting to click. Chiefs are starting to play. That defense is finally starting to click a little bit as well. Anytime you got Patty Mahomes on that field, Tyreek Hill, I said Tyreek Evans. Boy, that's a name from the past. That's a Jonathan Burton moment right there that I just pulled.
Sure.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. So I got Chiefs at number one. I've got Patriots number two. And number three, pull over if you're driving right now so you don't wreck off the road. Number three, I have the Indianapolis Colts. Ranked number three for me. I've got them ranked higher than Buffalo. I've got them ranked higher than Baltimore. Yes, I know they lost, but really they should beat that one, that Baltimore game. But I think the best teams playing the best right now, AFC, Chiefs, Patriots, and Colts are my top three. Looking on the opposite side, and I'll let you give your take, NFC-wise, I've got my three, Bucks, Packers, and I'm going to eat it for my third one because I've been wrong so far this season with them. You know where I'm going with this one, Arizona Cardinals.
I'll laugh at that, baby, because, you know what I'm saying, you and our homie Decott didn't believe in them. And though they did have their moment of their moments, not just one, you know what I'm saying, we all knew Watt was going to go down at some point during the season. And that's just kind of what happens. With that aging player, but they've missed, what, four games with the starting quarterback, you know what I'm saying, where they've had Colt McCoy come in and fill in and play well, you know what I'm saying, as well as others, you know what I'm saying, notable players being out. So I can't – the NFC, to me, Brandon, is a little more cloudy, to be honest with you. Of course, they're going to be there. They're going to be there at the end. Champs, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are going to be there in the NFC Championship game in the end. Are they vulnerable? Yes. I don't foresee them if they come out with the second seed in the NFC. I don't foresee anybody beating them at home, per se. I really don't. But the strongest team right now. I mean, I would say I can't just say one is number one overall. Be honest with you, I would say in no particular order, it would be them, Tampa Bay, the Green Bay Packers, and Arizona. But again, they're young, right? And I would put Dallas as my top four. There's a lot of good stories out there in the NFC, but those would be my top four.
Okay. NFC. I like it. Cowboys starting to get Mike McCarthy back. He was back today, first day of practice. He's back. Dak is there. If they can just keep Zeke healthy. That defense with Micah Parsons, Diggs, that Cowboys defense is great. And, you know, I do want to bring a comment up that I heard on the radio the other day when I was leaving work. I was listening to Sirius XM. Before the season, people talked about the Dallas Cowboys, how they were going to be good offensively, but defense was going to suck. Defense was going to be trash. Defense. You know, they fired their defensive coordinator. They brought in Dan Quinn as their defense coordinator. And then they started playing well. And then people were like, oh, yeah, they're going to win their division. They're going to win their division. And then it got to the point where they started playing well enough. Well, anything less now is a failure if they don't go to the Super Bowl. They don't win the Super Bowl. Well, hold on, because all you're doing is extending the goalposts more and more and more and more. These people are saying they were going to be trash at the end of the season. So now you can't sit here and say if they don't go to the Super Bowl, it's a failure because of what you had them preseason-wise, what you had them the first 5 weeks of the season, and then what you have them in now. You can't just – it's not fair to keep extending the goalposts on the Dallas Cowboys. I already call this a successful season for them, especially with Mike McCarthy coming in there. Them getting a new defense coordinator, Dan Quinn, in there, that defense starting to pick up. I call this successful for Dallas, and I don't think they have pressure this year to go to the NFC Championship or go to the Super Bowl this year. I think they have another year before that pressure would go because of where I thought and some people thought they initially were going to be going this year.
I kind of agree with you, but you know that owner around there is always thinking, yes, how we're gonna get to the Super Bowl. The most pressure I'm glad we're on the NFC. The most pressure, right, would be the Rams. Even with the 1 year with Matt Stafford, you know what I'm saying, coming over in the trade, like how much draft capital did they move to get Stafford? Right. Keep that in your wheelhouse. How much draft capital did they move to get my guy from Denver, you know what I'm saying? How much money did they, off the waiver line, did they pick up, you know what I'm saying, did they have to pay to pick up Odell, you know?
So who has more pressure? Would it be the Rams?
The more pressure, personally, is the Rams.
The Green Bay Packers?
That pressure I'm coming off.
This could be your last year with Rodgers.
Oh, well, the front office, well, that's, you know what, pressure. I look at it from a business standpoint of what the Rams have invested and given away as far as their future, right? When you look at the legacy standpoint, yes, Aaron Rodgers got the most pressure because, again, he choked off an NFC championship game last, my personal opinion, him and the coach, choked off an NFC championship game last year, a game that was going to be tight, and they should have known that. But it was a very winnable game that they both made mistakes. Both in play calling and off the field, and on the field during that time. So, I know there's a clamor in Pittsburgh, right? That wants Aaron Rodgers. There's a clamor in next year. There's a clamor in, you know what I'm saying, probably around the league, you know what I'm saying, for hell. I would assume the coach. I don't know if there's a way to dump Carson Wentz, right? But I'm sure you know the coach would probably want Aaron Rodgers if they could get him, but. The Green Bay Packers got the direct line into, and I know, you know what I'm saying, we all know the drama that they had over the offseason and whatnot, right? But the Green Bay Packers had the direct line to get Aaron Rodgers, and I think that's still the best rate chance for him. That particular team, that particular vision, that's the best way for him to get back to a Super Bowl if he wants to continue to play. But most pressure from what do we do in the offseason, you know what I'm saying, that goes through the Rams. Green Bay's still good enough to, you know what I'm saying? I don't know where, I don't have the standards in front of me right now. I'm sure, I'm thinking they're like top two, top three. right? Green Bay's good enough right now still to you know what I'm saying, walk into anybody's, except for maybe Tampa Bay, walk anybody, whoever, Dallas, you know what I'm saying, whoever might be, even Arizona, as we know they beat them earlier this week. They can walk into anybody's field and beat them, if they, you know what I'm saying, beat them in their own, in their home field. So, but, yeah, most pressure, I'm still going to stick with my guns and say the Los Angeles Rams.
Okay. Looking ahead at the schedule this week, games, obviously we talked about Pittsburgh and Minnesota tonight. Dallas takes on the Washington football team. The Washington football team, John, has got themselves a 6-6. They're playing great football right now. So Cowboys and at the Washington football team, that's going to be a huge one. The Raiders at the Chiefs. This is the Raiders' swan song. If they're going to have any shot at this division, to upset the Chiefs this year, and usually they usually get one from the Chiefs, it seems like. But Raiders at Chiefs is another big one. Baltimore goes to Cleveland. That's going to be a huge game this week. I think it'll be really, really good. Buffalo goes to Tampa. So you got the Bills and Bucs. So some thought this could have been a Super Bowl showdown possibly. Sorry, Bears fans, you take on the Packers Sunday Night Football in Green Bay. We already know the story of this book, how it ends. I'll say it for that one. And then your Monday night game, John, I think might be the best game of the entire week, Rams at the Cardinals. That is a Monday night football.
Rams at Cardinals?
Yep.
Rams at Cardinals. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Because Kyler Murray's back. Right, not good for the Rams. The Rams got to figure out, you know what I'm saying, like I said in the last segment, the Rams got to figure out, you know what I'm saying, who they are, what their identity is. You know what I'm saying? Matthew Stafford, you know what I'm saying, came in that particular organization with a lot of blame on Detroit. And rightfully so, Detroit doesn't necessarily put all the pieces together for anybody. For, you know what I'm saying, they might have one piece, even going, if you think about it, even going back to the days of Barry Sanders, they might have one piece, but you definitely need more than one piece to win in this NFL. I think it's a pressurized game. I have no doubt in my mind, or I should, if you led me to it, that the Arizona Cardinals won't come out victorious, just because they've consistently shown to be the better team. But you know what I'm saying, Matthew Stafford, you know what I'm saying, there was a lot of MVP talk. Remember that now he was going to a better organization because they had a better defense and they had better wideouts and whatnot. Remember Cooper Kupp, everybody remembers him, but like the first 5 weeks, you know what I'm saying, being like that wide out, it was on everybody's radar, you know what I'm saying, especially from a fantasy standpoint, right? But again, they took some major steps back on both sides of the ball, and it had some head-scratching losses, you know what I'm saying, sometimes led by Matthew Stafford himself, as the pick sixes were out of nowhere, right? Right now, the best team playing the best football is Arizona. So we shall see. You know, like, so I see why you said that is going to be a titanic game. But like I said, I think Arizona comes out with that victory.
Yeah. We'll brush on it for like 30 seconds because we don't need to talk about the team too much more. But Lions got the win.
I know where you're going.
Lions got the win.
That's all that matters, man. That they got the win, man, and they don't end up as like a 1-7 or 1-16 team going down in the history books for the wrong reason, man. So what now?
I said they have a tie as well.
Right, I forgot about that tie.
Oh,
but
Dan Campbell said they're still gearing up as if they're going to make the playoffs. He said that in his press conference this week.
Okay.
I just saw on Twitter that for the Lions to make the playoffs this year, they have a 1 in 2 trillion chance.
Would you put some money down on that?
No, not in 2 trillion. Sorry, not a chance. NFL wise, trying to think of anything else. I don't think I have anything else NFL wise. Do you? Before we move on.
No, I think we covered. Like I said, we, you know what I'm saying, you know, show middle part of week Thursday, you know, kind of hard to recap everything from Sunday or whatnot. But, like, no, we can put a pin on the NFL.
Looking ahead, Let's go to NBA. I want to talk to the association. Indiana Pacers, John, it's been a, could you call it a wild week, a week and a half or so for the Indiana Pacers organization. Losing games they shouldn't be losing. Sitting, and I'm still waiting for that apology from Reggie Sykes. To T.J. McConnell being out for months, to the owner saying now, hey, I'm open to a rebuild and let's blow it up, let's trade some of the guys, to Miles Turner now pissed off that he says, I'm not the player. I don't like my role here in Indianapolis. Said it in three separate interviews yesterday and today. Then Rebecca Carlisle has COVID. So what a week for the Pacers. Let's break it up into little segments here. First, just the play first of the Indiana Pacers. After they got called out by Rick Carlisle, they did have two good wins, and they shot the ball well. But other than that, we just need to continue to see that consistency. But that's also after the reports came out that the owner is open to blow this team up.
Right. We've been critical of the Pacers' ownership here on our show. We know that they don't want the elite-level guy where they have to kind of turn the franchise over to a top-five guy. If they get a top-five guy, right, and they grow with and he kind of grows in with the community and the Pacers, and he likes staying here, they're all for it. But for the most part, that hasn't happened. So that's why, they jettisoned Paul George. That's why they jettisoned Victor Oladipo, right? So now we have a group of B-level guys. Some people say C-level guys. But it's a collective that should not necessarily be running away with it. Like a 20-4, like what the Phoenix Suns are, I do believe currently, but they shouldn't be six games under 500. There's no way. You're telling me, you look at the skill sets Sabonis has, you look at the skill set LeVert has all the way down. Durante, who should be getting Rookie of the Year, looks. Caris LeVert, who came in with much promise, right? And I know I know he's battled back. I don't want to take anything away from him. I know he's battled back from the cancer scare. I know he's battled back from some, regular basketball ailments, right, too. But so again, this collective should be better, regardless of who ain't out there, and we know who's not playing for him. If you're telling me you got to worry about T.J. McConnell as the backup point guard, though he brings a lot of injury, a lot of grit, like that's baloney, man. You play with what you have out there. They have, and like I said, they have enough firepower in the B level type of talent level that you could beat the team. We all know that the lesson games slip away, right? So a lot of games, not some, a lot of games slip away this year from. So again, so think about all those things that I just said, and the fact that this is the third coach that we've had, right, and within like the last four seasons. So let's just say this: Nate McMillan lost the locker room, lost the players lost faith in him, however that looks. The players lost faith in Nate McMillan, right? Nate Bjorngren was in over his head. Okay, we'll say that, right? And as far as Rick Carlisle, Rick Carlisle is it's great. It's almost like having Nate McMillan back again, a guy who used to play basketball, who used to play in NBA, and kind of knows what should kind of happen every should day to day, and like guys aren't trying. So in the NBA he came up in, and the NBA Nate McMillan came up in, they call you out. It's okay. We professional athletes, man. Like, call them out. Call out your teammate. I don't necessarily think they have that in the locker room from a player standpoint. Because if any of these players got traded, they were named, whether it's Caris LeVert, Sabonis, or Miles Turner, they went to a team with Kevin Durant or LeBron or whatever. They get called out, or they probably sit. Those teams are about winning and about business, or even San Antonio. And I know San Antonio does not necessarily have a great record right now. They just don't have talent. But you think Greg Popovich would let you just be like, oh, okay, it's great that, one night you had 40. I'm picking on Miles Turner, unfortunately. One night you had 40, and the next five nights you had seven? Like, that doesn't make sense. Or again, Sabonis sometimes doesn't put the effort on defense on making the defensive switch, but he puts the effort on the offense, right? So you know, Brandon, like I don't have a problem with them lighting the fire underneath the Pacers. You know what I'm saying? The leaders of the team or the high paid players of the team. How about that? I don't have a problem with them lighting the fire underneath them, getting their attention by saying, "Hey, man, you know, we're 9-14. That doesn't make sense." You know what I mean? And saying, hey, we might trade one of you, two of you, all of you, you know what I'm saying, and start over. I don't have a problem with that. So we've seen that conversations has been had. They've reacted to it. But what further perplexes this particular story, Brandon, is that Miles Turner then starts whining and takes it personal. Well, dude, you had your – Miles Turner has had his opportunities to be more than what he thinks as a glorified role player. He's had his opportunities. When Paul George was jettisoned out of here for Sabonis and Victor Oladipo, you know what I'm saying, the transitionary period, Miles Turner had an opportunity to be the guy, right, or be more than what a role player. During the coaches that when Borgen came in here, more offensively minded coach. Okay, Miles Turner, it's the same effort night after night. Great one night, thinks for the next three, or consistent for three and then disappears for the next five. You know what I mean? So again, man, I don't know where. Again, great. Seemingly a great guy for the community, always has, you know what I'm saying, always is out there, you know what I'm saying, whether you think about Boys and Girls Club or you think about, I know him and Malcolm Brogdon visit a prison to, you know what I'm saying, all those community things that he does, but, like, on the court, like, again, nobody's actually named, not me anyway, because nobody plays like that anymore, Brandon. Nobody plays like Charles Oakley and Karl Malone anymore, you know what I'm saying, except for maybe Giannis. You know what I mean? It's like an inside type of guy. Most, you know what I mean? But at 6'11", you expect more than just the effort that you get out of Miles night after night. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know what I'm saying? I thought it was just one interview. It was more than one interview. He kept on being a chatty Cathy about it.
Let me read you some quotes, especially for people who haven't read the articles. quote, "It's clear that I'm not valued as anything more than a glorified role player here, and I want something more opportunity," end quote, told The Athletic in an interview published today, Thursday. Tuesday, they had the report out that it was possibly for a trade. He also said, I'm really trying hard to make that role that I'm given here work and find a way to maximize it. I've been trying the past two or three seasons, Turner said, but it's clear to me, just numbers-wise, that I'm not valued more than a rotational player. I hold myself to a higher regard than that. He's been through three coaches in three seasons. He saw his offensive role change two seasons ago when Sabonis was on the rise. The season that Miles called, quote, the year of sacrifice, end quote. So he's butthurt that they put a focus on Sabonis, and he had to sacrifice his game where he thought that he was going to be essentially going up. Quote, "I've been given so many roles in the years I've been here. I feel like I've been able to produce at a high level in those roles I've been," end quote. I doubt it. Quote, "I can show I can do things they ask me to, and it's time for me to put them all together to be a more prominent night in, night out guy on the offensive side of the ball, instead of someone who's asked to be a floor spacer and hide in the shadows. I've settled for being a floor spacer who can run up and down the court and sit in the corner all game and isn't active because that's what I was doing the best at all time. I wasn't looking for myself. I wasn't looking out for the team. I realized looking out for myself in turn is looking out for the team. So I flipped my mindset going forward." Last thing he says, Turner believes he is just, quote, "just scratching the surface of his potential and wants to prove he's ready to take the next step in his career. The potential I've shown this season, I'm ready to turn that into a more intricate and prominent role on a nightly basis." So, John, that's from the New York Post. Your reaction.
If they send him to Orlando,
you'll get all the touches that you want. You won't win. You won't be around any type. I'm not crapping on Orlando. They just don't. They're not. That's not an organization dedicated to winning. If you trade him to the Pelicans again, it's not. They're gonna say one thing, and what's been on the court is another. So again, he can go. There's a lot of places that the Pacers could trade him, where he can get all the touches that he wants, right? But Brandon, if he goes to any organization where, and I know organizations have called his name, right? You know what I'm saying? Danny Ainge last year wanted him and Victor Oladipo. He's been linked to go to Charlotte, right? You know what I'm saying? Again, they liked his ups, you know what I'm saying? They liked his talent or whatever, right? But at some point though, Brandon, like, okay, if you want to be a stat guy, then great. But that's not going to translate into winning basketball. It's not. What he's saying is, it's not going to translate into winning basketball. It won't. So, yeah, he'll have great stats. He can potentially go to another team. He'll put up 15 points, maybe 7 rebounds, whatever. He'll still have to block because he does have great timing, right? But what really needs to happen with Miles Turner, look up his offensive rebounding, what he does versus what Sabonis does. Or any other post player, does. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go tip or tap for his teammate. I'm talking about any other post player. What? Okay, so Brent, I'm a little upset, man. Now, what happens when Miles Turner plays Giannis? Right? He wilts. What happens when Giannis Turner plays Joel Embiid? He wilts. Right? You know what I'm saying? If we pull the stats, right, the game by game. At least the bonus is still somewhere. Athletically as challenged as he might be against those particular guys, big man that play in his backyard, you know what I'm saying? He still puts up decent numbers. There was times I do believe it. Remember, before here recently this year, the Miles Turner got pulled, yanked. They didn't even play the fourth quarter against Philadelphia. So again, man, he's got.
Or Milwaukee.
My mistake. I thought it was Philadelphia. So again, you can say one thing, Miles. That's not true. He is valued because every year his name might come up in trade, and every year somebody kind of offers X, Y, and Z to get him. But every year the Pacers say, "Nah, we're gonna stick with Miles because we kind of believe in him. We think he has an upside." Excuse me. And Brandon, it's the writing on the wall. They fired several coaches because they keep on waiting for this kid's upside. Right? So again, man, if he wants to go and play for a losing team or a team that's constantly in the lottery, I think the Pacers might actually oblige him. You know what I'm saying? Or if you want to sack up, as our good buddy Dan Dawkins says, if you want to sack up and take what Carlisle said to heart or take what, you know what I'm saying, local media, Crossport Sports, included, is saying, and dude, go out there and be the best player that don't. It's baloney, Brandon. He gets touches here. What he does with them, and you know what I'm saying? He settles, right? Everybody, he settles. If the first two threes don't go in, dude, Miles Turner, he's not interested, right? Last night, I don't think he took a three. I think he had 20 points and four rebounds, four defensive rebounds. And of course, the blocks were still there. So I think he took 6 shots, I do believe, or 8 shots or whatever, and he hit 6 out of 8. That's what again, outside of the rebound, which we would hope there'd be more of it, especially on the offensive end, that was a good game for Miles Turner. So, again, you know what I'm saying, be a grown man. Don't be no kid. You're not coming out of Texas no more. You're not 18 years old no more. You're not that, you know what I'm saying, super freshman coming to the NBA no more. And that might be on the somewhat of the Pacers too, man. Because if you think the Pacers was that organization that put young guys with older veterans and helped them become pros, you know what I'm saying? When you think about Antonio Davis and Al Harrington, or you think about what they did for the veterans they put around Jermaine O'Neal, you know what I'm saying? What is that? We didn't really put that around. I'm not, you know, Carl George was, you know what I'm saying, obviously on his own agenda. You know what I'm saying? If you remember. Some of his exploits, that, you know, and the controversy he had going in and out of Miami. with a particular lady. But I'm just being real, man. Miles Turner saying that he isn't valued and he hasn't got an opportunity to showcase his talent here as a Pacer is baloney. And I'm just saying baloney because if you were at my home, I'd probably say the BS. You know what I'm saying? So I don't buy it. But if he wants to be honest with you, if he wants to, you know, saying have a great stat, then the Pacers should oblige him and get a haul back for him.
It's funny that that article comes out, that interview comes out the day after you get a 20-point win over the Knicks. That comes out. Turner last night was 8 of 13 from the field, 3 of 7 from three. He had 4 rebounds, 22 points, and 2 blocks. The problem, Miles, is the reason why you're not getting those minutes is you're not consistent with doing that night in and night out.
Right.
You've got your 6-point,
right,
2-rebound performance, and if you're not going to be out there doing it, then you ain't going to play. I mean, like you said, John, and I'm going to put it frank, either shit or get off the pot. You can't keep
going
back and forth both of them, right? I mean, how many years is this now? Six years?
This is year three.
We paid you. You're a free agent in 2023. We can't keep having this back and forth right now with the team. It's quite frankly, we're at the end of it, end of the what. And not only is the media, not only does the fans, but you know, if we're gonna blow it, and here before we bring on Decox, I see him on hold real quick. I got one last thing on it.
Gotcha.
Miles, Mr. Simon said that he's open to blowing it up, doing a rebuild, and what if we're going to do a rebuild, and we're dead last in attendance, by the way, 13,000. So it'd be 12,999 without Reggie Sykes there. But if we do a true rebound, well, because he can't be there because he sure as hell ain't calling into the shows. But if we do a full rebuild as the owner, I think you also got to look at the GM because of two things. And I've already been calling for Pritchard's head for, you know, now how many years. But
right,
he has to go too, because if you're going to do a rebuild, damn it, do it completely. If you're not, and you're going to do your rebound and keep your GM, Pritchard, how long is he willing to actually stay and see this throughout, getting the proper players? Like, are you going to have him another 3 or 4 years to help see this rebuild? Does Pritchard really even want to do this rebuild for that long? Or do you just cut the ties and you're going to blow it up and refix it, then do it with that and the GM? That way you at least get a GM there that's going to be, quote unquote, there for the long haul. I think you almost got to do it. I think Kevin Pritchard's got to go too if you're going to do the complete rebuild, unfortunately. And I know he's great at rebuilds, but you got to think, I want to think on the GM side of it. Does Pritchard mentally really want to go through another rebuild, or does he want to find a team that produced a win and try to win a championship? You got to think of his psyche,
right,
as well.
Right. Simon's
got a lot to think about.
Right. Bring our guy Decott on. Well, I think the biggest voice right now is Rick Carlisle, right? Rick Carlisle challenged the main guys on this roster to be better. Yeah. Some of them have stepped up and not made a peep. Again, you're entitled. This is America. You're entitled to make whatever comment back towards you, whatever you want. But like when you talk, make sure that you're talking some sense, because again, Miles Turner sounds real weak coming off by saying some of the things that he said, being not valued as a Pacer. That's baloney.
Okay, Decott, what's going on, my man?
Guys, first of all, you can't keep jumping on my boy Turner, man. You know,
he's
the Pacers have an opportunity.
He's a baby.
I'm talking about the response. The Pacer organization had an opportunity to make a difference in the summer. You know what their big splash was in the summer? Getting a retread time champion, Rick Carlisle, to pay him a boatload of money for this mess. That was a Pacers organization mess. They have failed Turner. They have failed the fans that pay our money to go there game after game. They see this thing going on. What do? Oh, don't worry. Let's pay Brogdon 2 more years. That makes all the sense in the world. It's an organizational deal. And I don't know when Turner said what he said. I know when it came out. But the bottom line is this. He's not a franchise guy to build around. He's a strong – he can be a strong piece. That organization failed those players. And when we talk about bringing in veterans for young guys, don't forget about David West also, another guy that they brought in who was a strong guy. So they don't do that anymore. They haven't done that. So
Deacott, well, it don't matter who the coach is. Miles still sucked no matter who the coach was.
Well, listen. The organization has failed, though. That was the start. It starts there. It doesn't start with Miles. Miles is –
Brandon, Brandon and myself have been critical of what the Pacers as an organization can do. Again, though, y'all also got to remember that this ownership group is not wanting to pay Kevin Durant or even have a talk with LeBron James when Kevin Durant and LeBron James are free agents because they don't want to turn over the keys to that and have no say, like, you know what I'm saying? Again, that's – I'm not – listen, I would take LeBron James any day of the week, whether it's year three or year 19, but there's a lot of things that kind of come with that that a lot of times don't get reported, right? But we also know that winning also kind of comes with that. I will say this, and I'll let you keep the point, is that they don't – so bouncing, you know what I'm saying, they left a bad taste in their mouth, right? Paul George, Victor Oladipo, for that, two different reasons, you know what I mean, left. But so but it's not that he did not – so listen to what he said, though, Deacott. He said he didn't have an opportunity. That's baloney. He has had an opportunity.
Well,
he has opportunities every night.
You're right.
He averages – go ahead.
But, Jonathan, that's talk. That's emotion. We got to understand these guys are human also, and they make mistakes in their words. He's had the opportunity. We've all said some emotional things at our job that we felt, but we didn't really mean it. So I give that a pass. It goes back to this summer when there was the same opportunities they have now they had back in the summer. They chose to run it back and bring in the retread. And then he said, okay, let's go ahead and sign Brogdon, who basically was the head guy on getting rid of Nate, the real Nate, not the
right,
the,
right,
the,
he was,
the park.
Right, he was.
So it started there, and that's my issue. So we want to sit there and mask things. There's a reason why Victor turned down that big deal he had.
Say that too, right. Absolutely.
So let's not make this a Turner deal.
Retread on the Carlisle. You gotta understand, Carlisle is also an extension of Larry Bird in some way.
Believe me, I know. I saw them play together in Boston, playing against the Lakers in the championship. I get it. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter. It was a mistake before when he brought him there and they got rid of him in that deal with the brawl and all that. And then boom, we bring him back.
If they could trade Malcolm Brogdon, they trade him. The stipulations of the contract said he can't be traded, you know what I'm saying, in the calendar year.
That Turner's fault too? He's getting everything. I mean, my point, listen, here's my frustration, right? All the things that are talked about in Sabonis and Turner and LeVert, all those things were on the table in the summer. And that's where my disappointment is as a Pacer fan. And what I'm saying is this, if you're going to do something, you need to do it. I think I gave you all the example of you have a car and your engine's blown, but you're going to change the alternator, the battery, the transmission. It doesn't matter. You don't have an engine, it doesn't matter. And that's what Pacers have been doing. They've been piecemealing things together, and it's kind of caught up with them. They got a bunch of good guys that are good players, but no difference maker. That's our problem, and I don't say our a lot, but they are my Pacers. So
right,
that's,
I got
that's
you
what they're missing.
But you can't keep a difference maker.
You're right. You're right. You can't keep them, but you have to develop them because you can't keep them to that point.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking if Miles Turner is there, you're saying. Head gun to head, and he's sitting down right now or sometime in the morning, and he wants to be traded to Orlando. And right now they're on pace to probably pick between 4 and 10. I let him go because then I'm asking Orlando, send me your draft picks and maybe send me Mo Bamba to make the contract work out. Again, I'm not a fan of Mo Bamba. Or, you know what I'm saying? He's been a bust his damn self. But, again, I would give me – do again, Pacers do have a first-round pick this year. But, again, any of those kids, right, if you ain't salivating over the kid from Duke or Pacho, I can't remember. I'm going to jack up his last name. If you ain't salivating over that kid, you need to – or even the kid from Gonzaga, right, you know what I'm saying, or,
right.
Or hell, be honest with you, or even the kid, you know what I'm saying, up the lane here in West Lafayette, the point guard in Ivy, in Jaden Ivy. Man, you know, you know what I'm saying? You want to build homegrown talent. You know what I mean? So, again, like I said, Decott and Brandon, if he wants to go, you send him to a lottery team. Don't send him back to a team where you're going to get a veteran who's basically going to come back here and be like, oh, I didn't want to come here to Indiana any damn way.
Right.
And then you're out.
And I'm
you know what I'm saying?
I'm with you 100%.
Get some first-round lottery picks. Again, I'm not necessarily a fan of building a lottery. It doesn't necessarily always work out, right? In that regard, but again, guys who don't want to be here and vocally say that through the press, then you know what I'm saying, you have to oblige them.
And I'm with you. So here's what I say, and this is the other piece on the Turner deal. This reminds me a lot of the Ron Artest deal when we didn't have any options when he was tired of Carlisle and he wanted to go. Eerily similar. This sounds like a coach who's a control freak who tries to play mental manipulation games, and this isn't a new thing. This is the second part of that, and that's all.
Wait a minute, he won't be the first one. Like, man, you know, what's name played mind games too? The great Phil Jackson played mind games, and people congratulate him.
Yeah, we're talking about a franchise though that doesn't have that cachet, right? So
I got you right. That's true.
So with that said, we missed the boat. And we're going to get fleeced on any trade with Turner because they know now he wants out too.
I don't know. There's probably some deals out there.
Okay, we'll have a conversation.
I'll do my homework. There's probably some deals out there. There's probably some guys.
There's no problem.
I think
right. There's deals, but the deal was to be made in the summer.
It might
in
be
my
opinion.
He's a free agent in 2023, which means we got 2 years left. So people said, well, Paul George now is going to be leaving. So we're going to get fleeced on that deal. A lot of people said that. Hell, I even did. We found a way.
We
got Depot and Sabonis. Okay, but
who's
to say we might not get lucky again, let alone be if it's Pritchard or somebody else to do it. There's going to be some people that are going to want to make that push, and they'll do whatever because they'll sell the farm. Look at the Rams. They sold the farm.
I would love to have us get a great deal because obviously I'm, you know, being a Pacer fan, I'm not optimistic about it in this case because of those factors, right? Because I think Pritchard is a guy who's not maybe respected in the league, but he also is a guy that people can take advantage of potentially. So I don't see it being a great situation. I'll take the wait and see. I would love to get a King's ransom for Turner. I would love to.
However, yeah, it's just a matter of what you expect them to be. I mean, honestly, we're not going to get a 5-star. We might not even get 4-star. We might get some upper 3-star guys that have potential. You can't make chicken soup out of chicken shit. And, you know, we just...
Oh, no!
So let's see what happens. Let's see how this thing plays out. And then, because I don't like the assumption game, because that's kind of like we can go all back and forth all day long. I'm just disappointed, and my point I'm making on the call is I'm just disappointed in the Pacers leadership and hitching their wagon to a retread and to a shit starter. You add, give him two more years on his deal, and then you can't trade him. He's still the same guy he was 2 years ago. Malcolm Brogdon peaked his rookie year. Bet me. Prove me wrong.
I'm not gonna prove you wrong. Brandon.
And that's what's disappointing. I see it. And then you gave
it
two more years.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Brandon, while we got Decott on the phone, man, we gotta shift gears here for a second. We'll get back to the NBA. What do you think about that Georgia choke move?
Listen. Georgia didn't choke. That young man.
You gotta take that shade off Brian Kelly and put it on
man, listen,
Kirby
Smart.
That was horrible.
We'll get there. Hold on. No, he'll get Kirby will get his. But that young man for Alabama that's under center, each week got better and better. And guess what he did in that game? He hit guys outside the numbers down the field. That young man worked in his
right,
craft.
Yeah.
Remember, I talked to you all about that early in the season.
We did.
In the Auburn game. And then
yeah, you shit on him back in the day.
No, I didn't. You know damn well I didn't. I told you I think he's going to be great this year. I said, but he's got to hide the numbers down the field. And he did that.
But I've seen people tagging you early when the game was on.
You saw that?
When they were up 10-0. Yeah, the other thing, you know what I'm saying, Georgia was up 10-0, and they forgot that there was a whole nother three quarters to play.
Yeah. And I have to admit, I was out of character on the video. That's not me. That's not me. I usually stay in character. But for that Auburn game, if I had screenshots for things that people were saying to me, you'd understand why I went live.
Uh-oh.
Because
they come at him.
I don't ever do – listen, when Bama's playing, you all know this, I don't do play-by-play during the game. I watch the game intently. I don't do the back and forth. So – and it'll be the same way with Cincinnati, and it'll be the same way against Michigan when they play Michigan. But the difference is,
oh wow,
I'll be downtown in Lucas Oil. Me and the Tornado will be downtown on January 10th, watching it in person. That'll be the difference. But I'm telling you, Bama had a chip on their shoulder, and they said all we've heard about is Georgia. Well, let's see. And Georgia didn't have that second and third gear. And I told you on offense, they were going to struggle, and they absolutely struggled.
Well, they center. The backup QB is not the answer for Georgia if they're going to have any shot.
Yeah,
is it legitimately fair? Let's talk a little bit fairness. Is it fair that Georgia made it and not another champion from a Power Five?
I'm glad you brought that up, Jonathan, because I'll ask you this. Show me any post where anybody said if Georgia loses, they shouldn't be in it prior to the game. No one said that. Then all of a sudden, when they get manhandled, then we want to talk about, well, maybe they shouldn't be in it. No, too late. Show me a post, and then we can talk about it. But no, there we
go. I'm probably the only one that says I thought, and so does Nick Saban. He says conference championships matter. If I was any bowl team playing Utah right now, I wouldn't want to necessarily play Utah. But Utah didn't do their due diligence through the rest through the season. They got a bad loss against, I do believe Utah State or something crazy like that, or BYU, something crazy like that.
Right.
So the Pac-12 is technically out, but the Big 12, I want to play what if, right? If Oklahoma State wins that game over Baylor, does Georgia still make it?
Absolutely, because Cincinnati doesn't.
They
got Oklahoma, then you turn around and beat Baylor in the Big 12. Absolutely. Again, we don't know for sure, obviously, but I believe that Cincinnati would have been out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
I don't really want. I think conference championships matter, right? It sets up Georgia and Alabama again to play a championship game, but we can still see who's cool.
I hope not, because Michigan thumped Ohio State. Michigan thumped the crap out of Iowa, which is obviously a team anyway. But I'm telling you, I think Michigan's hot. And here's the other reason why I would like for Bama to play Michigan. I want Hutchinson, Mr. Heisman, New York, I want him being thumped all night. This dude shouldn't be in New York. The best defensive player resides in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yeah. I'll say this.
Wow.
I do feel that we're not going to get the same Michigan team. When a college football team is hot, they have to continually the fact that they're going to take a month off here.
Right.
That does not bode well for Michigan.
Because you're hot,
and then now you're going to go back, you're going to go into this thing, and you could just lay an egg and be on your heels. I think he's going to try to get him up, but you're hot now. I think at least you want to play the game next week.
Well, of course, they're going to play the chip on the shoulder routine, right? Oh, SEC, we don't have a chance. But you know what? I hope they do win because I think they got a better quarterback, and I think they got a better offensive plan. So that way, when because it can be a repeat of the Outback Bowl a couple of years ago, and Bama can thump them again. That's what I'm hoping. That's my hope. But let me ask you guys real quick. Are we still on for Sunday? Are we still on for Sunday wrestling?
I will be there. There you go.
Brandon, let's link up, Brandon, because I definitely want to go, man. I always like to support the local stuff. And let's link up and talk about it over the next couple of days, man, because I definitely want to go, man, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
We can chop it up about that, too. We can chop it up about the football stuff, you know, during that time, too. That'd be good.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, that definitely works. By the way, both of you, enjoy this coming Monday night because Steph Curry will be coming to Indianapolis to set the all-time three-point field goals record against our Pacers on Monday night.
You know, I give him all his props, man. The league is a three-point shooting league, and he's the best shooter we've got, you know, in the last probably 50 years. I don't know, who knows. But he deserves the record. He's a player. He's a respectful guy. He doesn't disrespect his opponents. I love it, man. I love it. You know, yeah. I'm not a fan because I'm a Pacer fan, but I love the fact that there's a guy like him, not some showboating jerk who wants – well, they don't get in that. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. So I'm okay.
All right, D-Cow.
Definitely. You guys be safe, man. Love the show. I'll listen. Oh, by the way, my cousin.
I lost him. John, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, I lost him. Hopefully he'll call back. Call back, DK. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened, how you got cut off. I didn't touch anything. I just saw it. Maybe he accidentally clicked it. But I was going to tell him Roll Tide right before he got off. he's coming to the defense of Miles.
He's the best athlete that they have on the team. But again, Brandon, like you said, consistency, athlete is one thing, consistency is another, man. He's had opportunities. I don't want to be the dead horse. He's had opportunities. I like the fire that's been lit underneath him. So long as he doesn't say anything else like disrespectful towards the organization, you know what I'm saying? Or go into you know what I'm saying, Pritchard's office talking about trade me, you know. You know what I'm saying, maybe they can kind of sweep this underneath the rug or whatever. Again, they need to go. I don't want them to break up these Pacers, right? I want them to go on a 5-game win streak. They go on a 5-game win streak, they still won't be 500. But I want them to go on a win streak where they get to 500, and we can have, you know what I'm saying, a seeded Pacer playoff team that ain't, you know, seventh or eighth playing for a play-in spot,
right?
You know, like they were last year. So, you know, that's on the players, okay? We keep on firing coaches, and we can blame Pritchard, you know what I'm saying? But everybody looked at the Pacers like, man, look at that depth. Look at, like, what they could do exotically. Okay, they kind of put it together, and they haven't put it together. So that's on the players. So, again, Miles Turner should be glad a guy like Carlisle, Retread or whatever, right, has challenged him and made him want to play. You want to go play for, you know what I'm saying, whatever coach is coaching right now in Orlando, or whatever coach is coaching right now in Charlotte, or whatever coach is coaching right now with the Pelicans. You know what I mean? They have a you know what I'm saying, a revolving door of coaches. They have a revolving door of rosters. So, you know, you gotta look at the business side of paying for the Pacers. Unless you go upgrade all of a sudden upgrade and go play for Boston. And I'm saying this, man, because they have championships. You know, or
right.
go play for a team like the Lakers, or go play for a team like the Nets. You know what I'm saying? But again, I don't know if those teams had the capital to get Miles Turner. But, you know, be careful what – I'm going to tell you what my dad told me, Brandon, and it's something that everybody's heard. Be careful what you wish for because you just might get it, because you'd be playing in basketball obscurity and then people would be then forgot about you.
Okay. We're going to do a couple ad reads. We come back, we'll hit the college basketball and college a little bit more. We'll touch in more on the college football talk before we wrap tonight. So we'll be back after these ads.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also want to thank our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports. Where ideas are created and dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Like I said, they ship worldwide. Custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels, and more. They carry all the top brands and much more. Give them a call today, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Check them out, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know the Crossroads Sports sent you.
And we also want to thank Wiseman Logistics. Wiseman, that's Wiseman Logistics. They're an Amazon delivery service partner dedicated to the successful delivery of your package, both domestic and you know what I'm saying, both domestic and commercial. As Wiseman Logistics. And Brandon, they're hiring right now. Go anybody looking for a job, and I know half the world should be looking for a job, you need to dial this number, 1-877-744-6212. That's 1-877-744-6212. Use me and Brandon Reef, Jonathan Burson, use Brandon Reef as a reference. And they, like I said, they'll hook you up with a great job. They're looking for drivers. They're looking for warehouse help. Who doesn't need a little extra Christmas cash during the holidays? Like I said, great benefits, great pay. That's Wiseman Logistics.
All right, John. Let's look ahead. Give me a second here. Sorry. Back to college football. Obviously, the championship weekend we just had, we've got Bama 1, Michigan 2, Georgia 3, 4 is Cincinnati. We won't touch too much on it. We'll save for next week and then the week after show or 2 weeks show. But Bama put the hurting, as we talked with Decott on them. Bama's number 1. Georgia did fall down to number 3, which I thought was fine. Michigan stays in the 2 and Cincinnati at 4. If Oklahoma State, with a little, about 6 more inches, gets that touchdown there, I think they do jump into it, and I think Cincinnati is gone out of that top 5. I really do. But there was shocking for Oklahoma State and Baylor. Baylor, man, they were going to have themselves a shot. Obviously, they couldn't get too far up there. They ended up, I think, 6th or so, 6th or 7th. I think Ohio State was 5 and then was 6. But we're set for the bowl schedule.
Yeah, we are. I thought, you know, Ohio State, of all the teams that didn't make the top 4, they should probably be the most pissed, right? They have their, you know what I'm saying, they got that Oregon game. If they can play the Oregon game back, they want to pay it back, you know what I'm saying, 12 more times, right? When I think about what Ohio State has as far as offensively, it has weapons and what they can do as far as points. There's no other team in the nation right now that could probably go, you know, saying point for point, quarter position for position, running back, wide out, or even quarterback, like against Alabama or any other team for that matter, like Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? So, who are they playing in the bowl? I forgot because I know Notre Dame's playing Baylor.
Ohio State plays Utah in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But, I mean, that's gonna be a category, you know, a great game. Consider what Utah did to Oregon the last two times out they played. So again, Ohio State should come in there a little pissy. I would hope. But you know, I know we're not necessarily talking like predictions just yet. I'm glad, you know what I'm saying, that a team like Cincinnati, a small school, made it. Luke Fickell is, let's put it like this, Brandon. If certain other levers kind of happen that we know is going to happen as far as the NFL is concerned, with Matt Nagy getting, fired, let go, whatever. There's rumors and whatnot that Ryan Day takes over the operations with the Bears. That means, maybe Luke Fickell, who has a relationship with Ohio, he comes back to Ohio State. So, again, great successful season for all the top four. I'll still be rooting for Cincinnati. But again, I know we will do our little predictions at another time. So.
Okay. Well, I got somebody's phone number here. All right, caller, you're on the air. I'm not sure who you are.
Okay, I see y'all been tripping. I've been on one. Both of y'all need to eat giant Snicker bars for calling me out on stuff that is, really kind of funny, I mean, I'm the one who reminded Deacon to call in last week, and I got busy at work, and I didn't get a chance to call you back. I do forget I work tonight. Deacon don't work. He sits at home. He talks and complains about tipping people. He don't tip. He's a member of a club. I'm going to be politically correct. He calls it the He-Man Women Haters Club. I'm not in that club, because to me it's one of those words that I won't use right now because I may get in trouble. But I'm not a part of that club because I love women. So he's a habitual loser at gambling, and he don't really know sports. So, I just saw the tag on Facebook from Jonathan. And, Jonathan, I'm really, really surprised at you with the comments that you've been giving me lately on Facebook. And Reese, you've been tripping too. It's 25 games in. Yeah, it's 25 games into the
season. Apology. You promised. We didn't show anything. You would apologize. I've got the audio, so I want that damn apology.
Apology? Well, I said it may take 25 or more games.
To me,
I'm still not ready to blow it up. I don't want to suck for 10 or 12 years. I have a 23-game package.
Your buddy's ready to
suck for that long. He don't know sports.
I'm talking about your Miles Turner. Did you see you read his article, right? His comments.
No, I didn't read his article. What did the article say?
Oh.
I missed it.
Well, give me one second here, D-Cop. You can talk to Jonathan as I'm going to bring it up. So I want to make sure I get every single word correct.
Oh, who did you call me? You called me D-Cop.
All right, here we go. Perfect. That's all the way I needed. It's clear that I'm not valued as anything more than a glorified role player here, and I want something more. More opportunity. I'm trying really hard to make that role fit I'm given here and find a way I can maximize. I've been trying the past two or three seasons, but the Pacers aren't seeing to maximize. But it's clear to me, just numbers-wise, I'm not valued more than a traditional rotational role player, and I hold myself higher than that. 2 years ago was a year of sacrifice for me. I've been given so many roles in years I've been here. I feel like I've been able to produce on a high level in roles I've been given. I can show I can do things I'm asked to. All together, it's time for me to put it all together and take a more prominent night in, night out guy on the offensive side of the ball instead of someone who's asked to be a first baser and try to hide in the shadows. I've settled over and over to be a floor spacer. I've realized that looking out for myself in turn is looking out for the team. So I flipped my mindset. And the final quote, I am just scratching the surface of my potential that the Pacers have for me. I want to prove that I am ready to take the next step. I'm ready to be more of an integral and prominent role on a nightly basis.
I agree with Miles. Miles has really grown. We used to get mad because he used to get dominated by people who played against the back and stronger players. But he has gotten stronger over the years. And Miles is a great defensive player. And he may be more of a valuable trade block than Sabonis, because he fits in so many other people's systems well. If he leaves and goes someplace else, he's going to play the same role. Miles, you have to admit, his role has changed here. People complain about him not rebounding.
Well, how can you rebound when they want you to sit on the outside and shoot three? You know, you can't do that. Miles is probably one of our better defenders on the defensive end, and I would really hate to lose Miles. I like Sabonis. Sabonis is a great down low post option. He's a great rebounder.
Yep.
But you can't compare the two because they both do two things different. Now, I don't know if Miles is ready to step up to be, quote-unquote, the hero of the team, the go-to guy to finish. But depending upon who they're playing and the situations, you may go to Miles for a last-second shot. You may go to Brogdon on a last-second shot. But I really think eventually that role is going to be reserved for the rookie Chris Durant in a few years.
Yes.
I don't want to blow up the Pacers. I'm willing to do a little retool. I like LeVert, but he hasn't been really playing good. He had one good game, one bad game. I think he's trying too hard to fill that role and probably needs to
right.
slow his role down just a little bit. He's just coming back from that. You know, did he even have a training camp? And then for a while, he was only playing every other game. So most of the time when a person gets hurt, when they hurt their leg or their ankle, you say you got to give them games to get back in shape. You know, they can't be on a minute restrictions, you know. Klay Thompson is going down to the G League trying to work his way back up, you know. So you got to give Caress a little bit of time to get back to his scoring. So I really think he's a great scorer within 15, 18 feet. I don't really care for him to shoot three. I like him shooting
right.
threes better than Sabonis, but I think his job is to penetrate and score. And I really think if this team is fully healthy, our record would be better. We've had people, you know, people complaining, well, James has missed this game. We're walking. Nobody ever says the Pacers have had injuries. People think we've been up the full strength since training camp, and we have not been. That's just not completely true.
Right.
We have people out now on this losing streak. We have Holiday out. Now we have, man, I really hate that T.J. McConnell's out. You know, he's going to be out for a while. But I do like that Martin and O'Shea Brissett. I was hoping O'Shea Brissett was going to get a chance earlier. I really do like that they're getting the option now to play. And to me, it looks like
mm-hmm.
they're forcing Lamb to actually have to play defense because Lamb never played defense. His defense was worse than Brogdon's back in the day. Brogdon just stepped his defense up too. But Lamb's defense was shit. My 16-year-old son could probably play better defense than Lamb, but you know it is what it is. So I think the addition of Martin and O'Shea getting playing time is showing Lamb that hey, I got to play some defense. I got to rebound. I got to do this. You know,
Reg, biggest thing for me with LeVert is his shot. That shot, like if you sometimes like it was one night he went like 4-for-17 or maybe it was 6-for-17. Like you got to pass it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know maybe he's trying to get back into it. They tell shooters, you know, they keep on shooting to get back into it. But if the other
mm-hmm.
kid, if Brogdon and Durante have the hot hand, you're going to have to, on some nights, you're going to have to let them do it. You know what I mean? That's what I see out of LeVert. Again, before you kind of came on, I just kind of get pissed at Miles and what he said and how he said it towards the organization. I don't want them to blow up at all myself either. You know what I mean? Again, like, you know what I'm saying, going through the diva situation they went through, you know what I'm saying, the Pacers are kind of washing their hands. If they get an A-list type of player and develop him and he grows with the organization, I think that kind of works out for him. But they're not going to sign no free agent. They're not going to sign nobody and be like, hey, man, you know what I'm saying, James Harden, come over here, you know what I'm saying, because that's not what they want.
It's like you said, John.
But,
you know, the Miles.
Go ahead.
The fact that Miles saying in that interview wasn't given the chance, bull. You were given the chance after Vic was gone. You were given the chance once
right.
Oh was gone, and you haven't produced. So why are you just now?
I don't think he was ready back then. I don't think he was truly ready. I think now, you know, I'm not going to say every night, but now Miles is really. Really, Miles and Sabonis are really both balling out. And, you know, I don't think I can recall a game where both of them balled out at the same time. But you take your poison, you're going to get Sabonis or you're going to get Miles. And to me, I think they're I agree with you. I just don't think early on he was ready. I just don't believe him.
Yeah, Reg and Brandon, we're past the point, can they play together, right? Carlisle has figured out a way how to play them together. It's just that when they get the ball, so here's the thing. Like what I've seen from the Pacers, they want to share the ownership of scoring, and they want to get us more spread out to where it's not just one or two guys, two guys got 30. They want to see the stat line, you know what I'm saying, double digits going into the, you know what I'm saying, two or potentially even two guys off the bench come in and give you, you know what I'm saying, 10, 11 points off the bench per person. But you know, with that being said, is that you have to be efficient. And I think that's basically, in a not-so-nice way, is what Carlisle's kind of saying. Like, dude, y'all need to be professional. You need to be professional. You're not going to get 25 shots to get 19 points. You ain't Westbrook. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't no disrespect. I mean, that's what happens out there with those alpha-level players. They get 25 shots, and sometimes they get 40. Sometimes they get 19. You know what I mean? And that's not great. That's not necessarily great efficiency, but it works for their squads and how they build. This squad is built upon, we need you to play the most efficient basketball, brand of basketball that you can. So if you get seven touches, and I think he does. I mean, I look at the stat line. I watch the games. I look at the stat line afterward. He gets touches. You know what I'm saying? Now, what he does with those touches, does he set up for the three? Does he not go inside? I'm not saying bang like Antonio Davis. You know what I mean?
He was going inside banging last night. Yeah.
Right, but, like, get something going. Be aggressive. Get something going. You know what I'm saying? When you get it below the free throw line. You know what I'm saying? Get something going. Be aggressive.
I agree with what you're saying. I just don't agree with a total blow up of the team. And just because you want to make a trade, don't mean people want to make a trade with you. And if you're not getting draft picks back, I mean, what are you going to give me? You know, you're not going to give me your best players. You're going to be like Boston did, try to lowball the Pacers to get Miles away last year, you know?
For sure.
You know, when it boils down to it, there's only one ball on the court. Have y'all talked about the college football yet? Or am I – did I miss that conversation?
Go ahead.
I hate the tie.
I thought it was a fan wagon.
Where did they come from? I don't know where all these fan wagons.
You're right. There's a lot of fan wagon going on with the tie. I think Georgia just they again choked. Kirby,
they choked. To be honestly, I don't like the SEC. The only time I like the SEC is when I want the other teams in the SEC to beat Alabama. I hope Cincinnati, I don't think they will. Now, you know, I want you to hear, I don't think they will, but I would love for Cincinnati to win it all just to throw everybody's money to disarray or whatever.
I would love, and I
hate Michigan. You know, I'm an Indiana guy. Woo. I know people hate when I say this. I like Indiana.
Like Harbaugh.
I like Purdue. I like Butler. I like Valparaiso. I like Indiana State. I like Boston.
Right.
I like Indiana schools. But I'm a Big Ten guy. I hate Michigan. But I hope Michigan beat some SEC in the butt. I hope Michigan kicks the SEC in the butt. I hope Cincinnati kicks the SEC in the butt. I just despise the SEC.
What was your take on Brian Kelly just jumping ship and going to LSU?
At first, I didn't want him to go, but I'm glad he left. It was time. You know, it's obvious what he was about, and hearing some of the stories coming out of there, it was just ridiculous. Like the story that he was at a recruit's house and he, you know, just left out, and one of the recruiters was with him. He didn't get a heads up that he was thinking about leaving. And, you know, they just promised this guy that they recruit and come to Notre Dame, all this and that. And he gets out of the press house and hear that Kelly's leaving. And I thought that was a little bit low down. He should at least give him a heads up, you know, telling I was leaving. It tells you something when your top assistants don't follow you to another program.
Right.
It tells you something when you use a fake
Cajun voice to try to please the crowd. I know some people that are LSU fans, and they're not happy with the hire of Kelly. I'm happy with Notre Dame's hire of Freeman. I actually thought that they would probably wait until after the season and try to recruit the coach of Cincinnati. I wouldn't have been mad at that. But I'm happy that Freeman stayed, and I'm happy that the assistants, the people that were recruiting, I'm happy that the staff stayed with him at Notre Dame.
But, you know, I don't know what you feel about Ohio State. I think your wish might come true. Luke Fickell might end up at Ohio State if Ryan Day goes to the NFL. Once the NFL, once we go through Black Monday and, you know, say everybody from Chicago or everybody from New York, the Giants get fired. I think the Jets going to probably have a purging themselves and probably the Seahawks too. So, if, you know what I'm saying, Ryan Day, I'll probably have to pick up the litter of a job if they're mutual interest, you know what I'm saying?
I hadn't been keeping up with what's going on other than the Notre Dame LSU situation. I hadn't really been keeping up. I've been hearing that there may be some turnover as far as the colleges and the pros, but I hadn't really did a whole lot of in-depth studies on it. I mean, I hadn't really, you know, formed an opinion, great opinion about it. See, Decott can't admit when he doesn't know something. Yeah, I did that. I admit it that I did not know something, you know. And I think, you know, 90% of the time I know something. And I know y'all on a short leash. That's why I'm jumping from subject to subject. But once again,
all good,
go
man.
Purdue.
You ain't calling in so long, man. We have to call you out. That's all this is about,
Purdue.
Man.
Go
Purdue.
Purdue
hoops.
Boilermakers. Go Purdue. Basketball.
Yeah, tonight makes me very nervous, gentlemen. We've 0-4. We haven't beaten Rutgers the last four times we've played them, so that's why tonight makes me very nervous.
They have not.
Rutgers tends to play up when they play people that are ranked or people that they're supposed to lose to, I've noticed. That's when Rutgers really, you know, gets knocked. And what do y'all think about IU losing by 23? I wasn't happy with that loss. I think the new coach.
We're talking coaches.
Let me go back to the Pacers real quick. At the end of the game, I'm no longer scared with the plays that are being drawn up for the Pacers. Rick Carlisle is a much better upgrade over the previous coach that they fired out the one season. The only thing that I thought he did good was giving confidence to Miles Turner. Mike Davis is an upgrade at IU. Even though they shouldn't have lost that game last night, I couldn't believe they came back against Syracuse.
We're going back to 2001?
He meant Mike Woodson.
I know he meant.
You know who I meant. Name. Yeah, Mike Woodson.
Are you going to give a shout-out to YouTube TV and Sinclair on here?
Who?
You want to give a shout-out to YouTube TV and Sinclair Broadcasting?
Oh, man. About Valley Sports, y'all kill me. I can stand y'all. YouTube TV, y'all need to work something out. Y'all were on all the streaming platforms, and now you're not on none. And I don't think it's just crazy.
I'll tell you this.
I know y'all get...
I know y'all get tired of me
tagging y'all on Twitter, but I figure y'all got more viewers on Twitter than I do, so I tag people who have more viewers than me.
I will say that I found out that when the Pacers play in Toronto, the game, you get to watch the game on YouTube TV. For some reason, when the game's in Canada against Toronto, home or away against Toronto, you can watch it on YouTube TV. I did notice that. That's three games now. So,
I did not know that. Thank you for telling me that.
I don't know why.
I appreciate you, buddy.
It is what it is. But, no, going back to your thing, the Hoosiers, I told somebody, I was talking to my buddy Nick Peterson, who comes on this show, his comment today with me, that was his first text I woke up to was, that's the type of loss that will haunt the Hoosiers all year long. Watch for seven more late collapses. NIT, first exit NCAA tournament at best. They're good enough talent-wise, but if you think the streak got in their heads, how does the collapse not get in their heads when facing all the close Big Ten games they'll have? It will. It will cause more of a collapse just like this. I'm telling you, psychologically, this loss is going to be demoralizing for IU. They almost did the same thing against Eastern Michigan earlier this year. Eastern Michigan, that team, it would be an L2.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you got to look.
Not the NIT.
You know, college basketball is starting to become like college football. You may lose any given day. Florida just lost to Texas Southern.
Yeah.
Florida just lost to Texas Southern.
Oh,
Florida was ranked number 20th at that time. I didn't hear you.
I said Gonzaga almost lost to Trillian University or whatever the hell it is.
Yes, yes, sure it is. And Southern University, the favorite school, the favorite, my favorite historically black college because I went there. That's the only school that I put over Indiana schools almost. Well, they battled Kentucky. I ain't going to say they almost won. But they were within eight, and they battled Kentucky. Kentucky, that big man that they got out of transfer portal, he was just too much for them. I mean, he was a big boy, and I couldn't believe that he entered that transfer portal from Wake Forest to where he's playing for Kentucky.
Right.
I mean, he just dominated. What's his name, Sinclair? I could be wrong.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on what's your thoughts on what Deion did with Jackson State down there this year? And then a follow-up question.
Let me tell you something.
How about him bringing that Brittany Renner grand model into the team meeting before their game?
Oh, man. Now, let me tell you something. I appreciate Deion Sanders for making the SWAC money, making the schools in the SWAC
right.
more money because usually they're underfunded.
Right.
I appreciate what he's doing overall. I thought it was okay bringing that Instagram model into the meeting so she can explain to them, hey, y'all can be my victims if y'all make it to the NFL. Look at me. You may be in my inbox. You know, she's
wow.
getting up. Oh, your daddy's the coach. You may make it in the NFL. Let me slide in your inbox or something. You know, whatever. You know,
wow.
She broke it down to him. And I didn't see anything wrong with – I see nothing wrong with that considering that the NFL, when you go in the NFL, you have a meeting and they talk about scams and different things that people are going to try to get over on you on. Or is that the NBA they do that on one of those? Other than that, Deion Sanders has only beaten Southern University one time. Southern has whooped, jealous of Southern University, JSU, a total of 8 times in the last 10 years. That's only the second time that they have beat us. They will probably never beat us again in 8 years. But, hey,
uh-oh.
The sun shines on a dog's ass twice a day, too. So, hey,
it sure
you
does.
Know, I give them their props. But I think that I appreciate what they're doing, Goose. They have a tournament that's coming on TNT. I appreciate some of the recognition that these schools are starting to get. And they'll never be able to compete with the power conferences. But if you elevate them a little bit, you'll see that they're good players that have came out of historically black schools. One that you may love, Reed, Mel Blount, came from Southern University, Hall of Famer for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Anelius Williams, Hall of Famer from Southern University. Avery Johnson, basketball player. Bobby Fields, who was killed in a car accident when he was playing for Charlotte. Southern University actually beat Georgia Tech when they had John Sally and Travis Best in the tournament.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I like, what I've started, you've been seeing it in football. I don't know really about basketball, but in football, I don't care where you play. You can play at Marion University. If you're a good enough player, they're going to find you, you know. And I really like, I think football really does a great job of scouting different divisions to try to find talent that may be overlooked.
Okay. Okay. John, you got anything else for Red?
I don't know, man. I think there's a new day dawning. I don't know how long Deion stayed at Jackson State. I got a good buddy. He's on the Facebook commentary right now, chatting up. He didn't believe that Deion could be a good coach, man. Like I said, man, I think just because of some of Deion's antics. You know what I'm saying? That we know Deion being a showman and sometimes being too much of a showman. You know what I'm saying? I won't say clown. I respect him as one of the great Dallas, the great Dallas Cowboys. It was the greatest team of all time. I kind of, you know what I'm saying? Tack on what you said. I think it's pretty good with Deion. They only had one loss this whole year. And, you know what I'm saying? He got into a bowl game. The bowl game is a showcase between the SWAC and the MEAC. It's going to be on ABC, I do believe, next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what I'm saying, whether it's not necessarily, you know what I'm saying, appointment viewing, but if you put a football on primetime, 12 o'clock Saturday, people are watching.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll watch it because, you know what I'm saying, they won't see Deion. So, yeah, and then hopefully the kids, you know what I'm saying, put on a good show.
You may see more high-profile coaches. Tennessee State has a running back from the Titans as their head coach, you may start seeing more high-profile coaches go that route to work their way. I wonder if Deion's going to stay. Once his kid's out of there, I wonder if he's going to stay coaching there. To me, Deion may be like a Larry Bird. He's smart enough to put smart people around him. Let Deion do the recruiting, and I'll let y'all do the coaching. I don't know how much coaching he's actually doing. I'm going to be honest with you. But whatever he's doing, he's ahead of the show, and it's working for him. Like you said, they're 8-1 in their bowl game. So,
okay.
Hey, Jonathan, if I'm missing out on the show, just tag me on Facebook Live, man. You know, man, don't dog me out like D-Cott, man. You know, when he didn't call for 4 weeks, I didn't hear his name. I mean, I know y'all don't appreciate his tape, but when he didn't call for 4 weeks, you didn't say nothing. And I missed 2 weeks, and I'm in trouble? Man, that's
you messed up. You the king of trolls, man.
Love y'all, man. Hey, right, shout out to Scott Nicholson, State Farm's sponsor of the show. But his Scott tends to troll, too, because, you know, he takes his clients to Pacers games, but he's a LeBron James fan. You know, Scott's got a Cleveland, Miami, and Lakers jersey, you know. But he's an undercover Pacers fan and an undercover coach fan because I see him in that gear all the time. So you can tell your sponsor, Scott Nichols, I said that. So,
man.
He's riding high with that line.
Have a great day, fellas.
Thanks, Reg.
Hey, love y'all, man, and I'm going to try to get back on track.
Sounds good. See you, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Reggie Sykes, King of Trolls. Good to have him back. John, I told you I was in trouble. Purdue, Rutgers on a 12-0 run. They're up 5 with about 3 minutes to go in the first half. So
It's
going to be one of those games. Travion Williams, the only one that's scoring right now for the Boilers. Rest of them are shooting 3 of 15. 29-24, Rutgers with 4:40 left in the first half. This was the game that made me nervous. So haven't won there in 4 times. IU Wisconsin, John, some thoughts on that? Kind of that meltdown from last night?
Just the fact that's what it was, the meltdown. Just the fact that they didn't get the ball to their star player, the guards, or any wing player, couldn't get Trace Jackson Davis the ball at critical point. He's their best player, whether he plays, you know, say another a minute in NBA or G League or whatever. Professionally, right now, he is their best player. He's their All-American. And again, I think he had a total of 6 points on minimal touches last night, and you can't have that. Just bad. This is a meltdown. You know what I'm saying? You're up big. You have to finish out that you're up big against an opponent you haven't beaten in quite some time. You know what I'm saying? There is a little bit of with the IU faithful that not necessarily that they're back, but they're heading in the right direction. But again, you don't want to. This puts a little bit takes the wind a little bit out of your sails when you have a meltdown like this. I think they get back on. I think they get back into it, but you know what I'm saying, because I trust the staff. What they're trying to do. Ultimately, Brandon. But again, if you're good enough to put a 20-point lead on a team. You know what I'm saying? You have to know that they're going to come back at some point. You know what I'm saying? With the advent of the 3-point shot, you know what I'm saying? 20-point lead is damn near, and this day and age, basketball is damn near like 10 points, right?
Right.
So if you got a whole half to try to nurse and try to get through, you know what I'm saying? 20-point lead, you got to put the necks on the throats of another team. You know what I'm saying? So. I think it's something that they hopefully write. I'm gonna disagree with Nick. If you said NIT, oh man, I can't believe it. I don't necessarily think they're gonna beat Purdue anytime soon. Or, you know what I'm saying, when they lock horns with them. But again, they've shown enough competency to you know what I'm saying put a good showing out there on the floor. They just gotta learn how to close out games.
Yep. Purdue's got Rutgers tonight, obviously. Then the new number one team in the country, which could be short-lived. Then they play NC State on Sunday in Brooklyn. They play them in Brooklyn, so that'll be an interesting ball game. Big Ten basketball, I put it out there. Big Ten basketball is always tough, no matter if you're, where you're playing at, which team you're playing at. Hell, playing in Northwestern can be tough. playing at the rack. Rutgers can be tough, and Penn State, you name it. You know, and then, you know, do I think Purdue's going to go undefeated? Absolutely not. I think they finished with probably four losses or so this year. Just about the brutality of the Big Ten the Big Ten conference. And as Painter said all week, you know, we don't want to be number one in November. We'll take it, or December. We'll take it. But we're looking forward more in February and going into March. We got another call real quick. Let's bring that on. What's going on, Mr. Tanner?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, you know, talking some college basketball.
Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to get in there. I heard you guys talking about that IU game. I had a couple things I wanted to say in there real quick there.
Yeah, go ahead.
So so I saw that nice record they got in there, about 1-20 in the Kohl Center. I was just doing some math the other day, and I don't think there's an IU kid that's alive on that roster since they won in the Kohl Center the last time they won in there. It's been a minute. So old Coach Woodson wants to keep it around, they better catch some dubs and not blow 22-point leads. Kind of remind me of Duke blowing that lead against Ohio State, them double digits.
You had to put that rub in there, huh?
I wasn't going to tee that up for nothing, John. Come on, son. And then football pick. I know, Reef, I know you like the Steelers tonight probably, but I think Vikings first half, 2.5. Put a condo on it. First half, Vikings cover, 2.5. I feel like Steelers are always the second half.
I took Vikings -3.
Did you?
I just feel like they're
like
more
the
desperate
half.
For a win after losing to the Lions.
Yeah.
They're more desperate for the win. Pittsburgh got a huge hard-fought win against the Ravens, but we'll go on the road. We'll struggle with that passing game, the running game. Dalvin Cook's back. I told John, hey, man, the rest of this season, I told him at the beginning of the season, I said 9-7 would be our record, struggling. I said, hell, I'm just enjoying the rest of the season, the fact that we got Ben until it's over, and then it is what it is, so let's just ride it out. By the way, Jonathan said, how about Xavier? They beat the brakes off our Ball State Cardinals last night.
Say that again.
I said, how about the Xavier Musketeers beating the brakes off our Ball State Cardinals?
Oh, when my dad's calling me and he doesn't even have any Ball State ties, and he's like, I just watched the most embarrassing game of my life. It makes me think we have to rethink that I graduated from there. And I support. To be honest, I don't know how much time that coach at Ball State has left. He might be cooked. I think he's on the hot seat right now.
Last season, coming out of last season flat, going into this season, they look worse. They look worse than Indiana State. And they got a new coach and a new culture and whatnot. So, I hope once Mac plays, starts that they can turn it around. They'll get their dose of the Toledos and the Kent States.
Right.
Some lesser teams, last night was not their night at all.
Speaking of lesser teams, I don't think IU schedule could get any more cupcake. Merrimack, Furman, UNC Asheville. No wonder when they play a good school, they get blown out. They can't hold on to a 20-point lead.
Well, that's interesting you said that, because North Carolina got Elon and Furman coming up, both themselves, and
there
Appalachians.
You there you go.
Well, there's a cupcake.
Hey, that's fine. Hey, we didn't come out this thing and swinging our big Johnson around saying we're going to be the best in the country, so we got a new coach in there. You're the one over there giving Coach K a farewell tour.
Well, hey, that's the difference between North Carolina and Duke. We expect it to win it every year. You guys don't.
I mean, our coach will retire on time, and he just says, hey, I'm done, and I'm turning it over. Our guy doesn't.
I'm sure there's an investigation that'll be coming out that got him out.
Don't come out here looking for a sympathy tour over here when it's Coach K's funeral that you're watching when it's his last season.
Oh, shit. I've been to that first game. I can't wait.
No, I just, I can't. No, I'm ready for college hoops. I mean, the Saturday slates will start getting good. I'm ready. That's my favorite sport of all, college hoops. I'm ready for it. Being from Indiana, it stinks. I mean, I'm not an IU fan or typically a Purdue fan, but you see it in the news and the media when you live in about how bad that is. I mean, Coach Woodson, that would have been a signature win if he could have won. And then you go and you get that
right
transfer coming in there. He's going 4 for 16. He shot more shots than Trace Jack. I don't know. You could put it on the coaching a little bit, but those players got to take some of the fall in that game too.
What's more surprising this year? I think, you know, looking at stories for college basketball, how teams are doing, I honestly think, besides Wisconsin, how well they've done, you know, winning Maui. Iowa State only won 2 games last year, and they're 8-0 right now. So I'm impressed with them as much as I told Jonathan the other day. I'm impressed with Arizona. Jason Gardner's got them Wildcats 7-0, ranked 11th.
No, he's got them really good. I'll tell you who I like that. Michigan was ranked really high, and they haven't impressed me much out of the gate either. They were ranked 4th in the country, and they've struggled right off the bat too. That Arizona thing, when I looked at the top 25 the other day, I saw them climbing up there. That's a big surprise for me too. That's a big surprise. Gardner's got those boys playing well. And I feel like when Arizona plays well in that Pac-12, that's what they need. They need the Arizonas and the UCLAs playing well. They need to probably build that conference back up like it used to be, a powerhouse basketball conference.
Yeah,
right.
And I think what Jonathan saw, I saw on Twitter with Jonathan, I think his biggest disappointment this year has got to be the Memphis Tigers with Penny Hardaway and them.
Oh.
John, what are your thoughts?
Money Bates.
I want to hear it.
Supposedly a top five pick. He's supposedly a top five pick. He's a guy I thought should have went to the G League route and, you know, and played with a G League assignment team and then would have got, and probably potentially would have got drafted, you know what I'm saying, this summer. Penny Hardaway has other, like, you know what I'm saying, McDonald's All-Americans on that roster, and everybody's kind of playing selfishly or worried about their position and their spot. I ain't telling you nothing you guys don't know. If you recruit a bunch of one-and-dones, you got to have the right kind of one-and-done or the right kind of conversation, culture, all those things, right, to kind of weather this kind of storm. Coach K, we've seen Coach K go through it. We've seen Calipari kind of go through it where he had guys not buy, because, again, it's still basketball. Like, it doesn't matter if you know what I'm saying, McDonald's All-American, Kentucky All-Star, Indiana All-Star, you still got to buy into
right.
The program.
Yeah, you still got to buy into the program.
Yeah, but I don't. They're not buying into, you know what I'm saying, what they have down there in Memphis. They lost to who did they lose? They lost. I was like shocked. Was it Ole Miss? Like, it's somebody they shouldn't be losing to. You know, so this is the team. You know what I'm saying, with that level of talent that they should.
They
be,
lost to Tom,
you know,
Green in Georgia.
Yeah, right. Tom Green is who's like 1-8 or something ridiculous this year. Already on the offset, they lost to Tom Crean. So I can't necessarily say that's on Penny Hardaway, because he came in with a lot of, you know, say, obviously we know who he is from his NBA playing days, and you know, say, he has a number of, I do believe, state championships from a high school standpoint. But the guys just aren't, you know, they know they're not there for the long run. You know what I mean? They know they're just there to play basketball and. But they're not. Everybody's kind of. He's got a selfish. I think that's what he said, and I don't want to paraphrase. I'm not going to quote him, but I'm just going to paraphrase. He says he has a selfish group right now, and that's not how basketball should be played. So he's got a lot of work to do if they plan on turn that round to make the tournament. You know what I'm saying? Because they ain't paying Penny Hardaway peanuts. You know what I'm saying? To make it to the. What's below the NIT, the college invitational, you know what I'm saying? That's the biggest disappointment right now. It's surprisingly nobody's kind of talking about it, but yeah, that's the biggest disappointment for me right now is the Memphis Tigers.
Hey, Tanner, go ahead and put your condo pick. Go ahead and put it on Tuesday night. I just have this feeling. Memphis is at home Tuesday against number 9 Alabama. Just put money on Memphis. I think they win that game. I do. I think they right the ship on that one. I think they beat them.
They're gonna need to do something down there in Memphis, or Penny Hardaway is gonna have to make the movie Blue Chips too.
you know who else I thought has played well this year?
He's either gonna have to turn into Nick Nolte himself or do something down there because. They hire someone with a high profile like him, and then they think he can get it done. They're going to get mad. I mean, here's the thing. If he doesn't get it done in Memphis, I don't know who else they can go to. So, I mean, I think he's got a little longer leash than anybody else down there. But I'll agree with Jonathan. Memphis and Michigan, M squared out there, they've probably been the two letdowns in college hoops. But you said Tuesday night, you said Alabama comes into Memphis.
Yep.
Was it on a neutral site?
No, it's at the FedEx Forum, Memphis.
They're going to need that dub bad. I know Alabama's riding high with that dub over Gonzaga. So, that's good for their program. You think football school down there, and then they got a basketball team in the top 10. That's all that's doing is putting money in that school's pocket. When you get basketball and football doing well, your school's loving you down there for sure.
Tanner, it was plus 850 on Saturday. I didn't take it. Plus 850 for the football team and the basketball team parlay to win it, to both win.
That would have been money in the bank.
Yeah, I didn't take it.
Here's my last little thing on that Minnesota game. Vikings won the only team to be up 6 points. Two, they got 7 losses by 28 points combined, and 8 of them came in San Francisco. So you think – walk off.
You're cutting out, T. You there? You're cutting out.
Under as well in that game. What did you say?
I said you were cutting out. We didn't hear anything. You just kept cutting out.
All right. Sorry. Trying to make my way up the street. I said the two things about the Vikings, they've lost. They've won every game. They've been in every game up 6 points in all their games they've been in. And then they've lost 7 games by a combined 28 points. You think about 4 points a game, 8 of those came against San Fran.
Right.
I think tonight will be close, but I think they're going to pull it off. Like you said, I think it's a must-win for both games, but it's hard to win on the road. Like you said, I think 3 points is a safe bet. I like the also, if people are looking for other action, if they're listening, I like the under 45. But I appreciate you guys having me on this week and the last few weeks that we've done college football. I'll get back on here. We'll talk some more football before those playoffs start up, and we'll talk some bowl games that I might be interested in.
Sounds good, my guy. Take care, T.
Hey, thanks for having me on. You guys have a great evening.
See you, sir. All right, John. Woo, what a show tonight.
Right.
I don't have anything else on my list. You?
Oh, I do. Hey, Brandon, I know you're a huge Walking Dead fan. I know you're waiting for, you know what I'm saying, the regular Walking Dead to come back on. I think it comes back on in February. It's the season finale of that. I know. Did you ever watch World Beyond with the kids?
Very little. I've
seen Walking Dead
2 episodes.
Okay, well, you know, they just had their series finale because the ratings for that one wasn't good enough to keep. There's some pieces. There still ain't no Rick. Sorry. Okay.
Damn.
But there's some pieces there that clues of like what happened to Rick, where the whole zombie virus and the whole zombie apocalypse started. I'm not gonna tell you. If you watch the last two episodes, you can kind of skip through it. I'm just being honest with you. Through the World Beyond. If you watch the last two episodes, you'll be shocked to see who you'll see and what you'll find out.
Okay, last two episodes. I have it on my YouTube TV. I just don't watch it, but I'll go skip through those last two episodes.
Yep.
Sounds good. Anything else, John? Right. You can wrap.
No, outside of that, man, I think we had a great show, man. I wanted to say thank you for all the people that kind of chatted up with us in the chat on Facebook. Shout out to Justin. Shout out to Tamika. Shout out to Reds and D-Cod and even our homie Mark Wallace. I want to also say thank you to our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance, our other sponsors, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, our other sponsor, Wiseman Logistics. Man, how could we do Crossroads Sports without them? I also want to say thank you to all our callers, Tanner for calling in, Decott again for calling in, Reggie for finally calling in, friends of the program. Wow, well, you know what I'm saying, again, you know what I'm saying, they kind of sometimes argumentatively when we debate and whatnot make the show that much more better as well. So outside of that, man, like Brandon said at the top of the hour, at the top of the show, man, we'll be back again bigger, brighter, better than ever next week, and that'll be your early Christmas present. Outside of that, man, thanks everybody for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.